be holy means to be separated, separated from sin, separated to God. The word says, come out from among them. We'll talk about it today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the broadcast, friends. This should be a very special week on The Line of Fire. I think once we get started, you are not going to want to miss a single minute. Right now, as you're listening to this, I should be traveling back from Canada and getting ready to leave with our families for our first ever renting of a cabin, all 10 of us together. That's mom and dad, daughters, sons-in-law, and four grandkids. And what I wanted to do, instead of just play best of shows from the past or having a guest host come in, I'm taking some recent messages that I preached that I think will really stir you. These are at my home congregation where I speak once a month and then do series of meetings once or twice a year. I'm not the pastor of the congregation. I'm thankful for that, and the people are thankful for that. But each day, it's going to be a different message, and your hearts will be stirred as you listen. Today's message is called Come Out from Among Them. Here we go. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, and we'll read a number of scriptures today. Jeremiah, chapter 6. Because of my schedule, that I normally go to sleep late at night, normally between 3 and 4 in the morning, and then sometimes I'll get up early, do a few things, and then rest a little bit more and start my morning mid to late morning. Some days I don't have a choice and have to start early. But because of that, I may catch news that happens late at night that others don't catch. I may miss things first thing in the morning. Well, it happened that Friday I was actually going about my day, sending out emails, getting ready for the radio broadcast, doing some other things, checking out an article I had written the night before, and I had completely missed somehow what happened in Colorado. As the day unfolded, I realized we've got to change what we're going to talk about on the radio on Friday. We've got to focus on this tragedy, yet another picture of the broken state of America. And I remember hearing something that was shocking. A young man who's a pastor now, at that time was a youth pastor at a major church in the Seattle, Washington area. It was the day of 9/11, tragic terrorist attack. And because he was on the West Coast, by the time kids were getting to school, everybody knew the news. Everyone knew what happened. And there was a school in particular where a lot of the kids from his church went, a public school. And he said to himself, I better get over there because kids are going to be really traumatized by what happened. And he thought, what a great opportunity to be reaching out to the lost because everybody's going to be shaken up by what's happened. And when he got to the school and began talking to the kids, especially the non-believing kids, he was shocked that they were relatively unmoved. Now, it was, of course, Washington versus New York, state of Washington versus New York. And so it did not strike them with the same nearness that it struck those of us who were from New York or had family there. But what shocked him was the indifference of the kids. And what some of them began to tell him was that this was like some grade B or video game. It was watching this on TV just seemed like poor animation. That the games they played day and night were so much more violent and so much more graphic that this didn't particularly impress them. All right, jumping in right now, Michael Brown here. This is a message entitled Come Out from Among Them. It was preached July of 2012. We'll continue with that message when we come back on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on a very special broadcast here on The Line of Fire. All this week, we are going to be taking you into services where I have preached, and we're playing messages that I brought to my home congregation. We'll have a little different one on Thursday for Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, and then I'll be answering your e-questions on Friday. But each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're bringing you into messages that I've preached some a few weeks ago, some a year or two ago. I believe you'll be stirred, you'll be encouraged, you'll be strengthened. I want to go right back to the message entitled, Come Out From Among Them. That they were so hardened by violence and graphic violence and the media bombardment that they lived in that they had lost sensitivity. And as I was thinking about the tragedy, I was stirred in one way, but unmoved in another way, meaning the grief, the pain, the shock that should hit was not hitting on the level it should, because we get bombarded with horrible news constantly. And it seems one atrocity after another, after another, after another. And we ourselves become insensitive. And at the time that this is, to me, just another picture of the broken condition of America, what happened in that movie theater, just another picture of the broken state of our nation, what strikes me is how the message coming from the great majority of pulpits across America seems to be just another pep talk, feel good, how to have a nice life message. At a time when we need to be sounding the alarm and turning to God in repentance and asking for his mercy, instead what we are bombarded with is a feel-good, all-about-me message. And the moment we call people to repentance, and the moment we urge people to turn to God, and we need to examine ourselves and start in our own lives, the moment we begin to do that, people will say, that's just condemnation, that's just religion, that's just legalism. Stay away from us. So look in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. And as we're reading this, let me ask you a question. Who had more covenant promises, the nation of Judah or the nation of America? Who had more of a guarantee that they would be preserved as a people, the people of Judah or the people of America? Show me one single verse in the Bible that guarantees that America will be here at the end of the age, or that God will use America to touch the nations. Just one. It's not in here. I certainly hope that's the case. I absolutely believe God raised up America for divine purposes. I believe that the vision of America as a nation being a city set on a hill is something from the Lord. That we have incredible potential to do good or to do evil. But please show me a single written guarantee in the Word that we will be preserved as a nation. It's not here. Judah had those. God had given promises to Judah, and yet the sin of the nation was so great, and yes, they had greater accountability as well, that exile was coming. And the Babylonians were going to be invading and ultimately destroying Jerusalem and burning down the temple, taking tens of thousands into exile. So Jeremiah 6:1, flee for safety, O people of Benjamin, from the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa and raise a signal on Beit HaKerem. For disaster looms out of the north and great destruction. Babylon would come from the north, would make their way up around the Euphrates River, and then would come back down. So it was disaster coming from the north. The lovely and delicate bread I will destroy, the daughter of Zion. Shepherds with their flocks shall come against her. They shall pitch their tents around her. They shall pasture each in his place. Prepare war against her. Arise and let us attack at noon. Woe to us, for the day declines, for the shadows of evening lengthen. Arise and let us attack by night and destroy her palaces. For thus says the Lord of hosts, now God is giving marching orders to the invading army. Cut down her trees and cast up a siege mound against Jerusalem. This is the city that must be punished. There is nothing but oppression within her. As a well keeps its water fresh, so she keeps fresh her evil. Violence and destruction are heard within her. Sickness and wounds are ever before me. This is God speaking of the sin-sick, broken state of his nation. Be warned, O Jerusalem, lest I turn from you in disgust, lest I make you a desolation, an uninhabited land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall glean thoroughly as a vine, the remnant of Israel, like a grape gatherer, pass your hand again over its branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, here's the prophet speaking, their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it. Therefore, I'm full of the wrath of the Lord. I'm weary of holding it in. Pour it out upon the children of the street, in the street, and upon the gatherings of young men also. Both husband and wife shall be taken, the elders and the very aged. Their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitant of the land, declares the Lord. These are very heavy words. Very intense words of judgment. And this happened. What the prophet warned about actually happened. He saw the devastation of his nation. He saw people butchered. He saw people carried into exile. He saw the temple burned down. He saw the king taken as a prisoner. And these words are especially relevant to me on a personal level because of the years I spent living with Jeremiah, writing a commentary on Jeremiah a few years back, and feeling the weight of this on a daily basis, and seeing how he sounded the alarm and how he blew the trumpet. Danger is coming. Look at it like this. It's about to come and crush the people. And here's the great crisis. Here's the saddest thing of all. Verse 13, for from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, or they've superficially treated the fracture of my people, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And this is a constant battle that Jeremiah has. His entire ministry, over 40 years, that when he would sound the alarm, when he would give words of warning, that the false prophets who massively outnumbered him would say, shalom, shalom, everything's okay, everything's okay, when there was no shalom. All is well, all is well, when nothing is well. And it grieves me more than anything that there is within the body today a false prophetic mentality. There are sincere servants of the Lord, people who love the Lord, people who are trying to do good, people who want to encourage God's people, people who want to help believers not be under condemnation, not be weighed down with guilt, not be so negative and introspective. And it's a very important message of God's love and God's goodness and God's grace. And it must flood our hearts. But at the same time, when we need to sound the alarm and say America is deeply messed up, America is sin sick and reeling, and what happened with this latest mass murder is just a picture of the wounds of our nation and the depravity of our nation and the violence of our nation. When these very things should be causing an alarm to be sounded, there is a false prophetic message saying, hey, everything's okay. It's one thing to bring a great message of hope if we repent. If someone was saying, if we will humble ourselves and repent and turn to God, America's greatest days could be ahead, I'd be the first to say amen, because I personally believe that. And it's in keeping with prophetic promises. But there is a false prophetic mentality that wants to superficially treat the wound. It's like going to a doctor and you have cancer, and because of that cancer, you're in pain all over your body, but the doctor doesn't want to offend you, and he doesn't want to upset you, and he doesn't want you to think about completely changing your whole life, so he just tells you, take a couple of these pain pills, and you'll feel better in the morning. That's ultimately doing a terrible disservice. And the reason that America is in the precarious state that it's in today, and however you look at it, we are in a very precarious state. To me, the economic issues are just a small symptom of a greater problem. All right, friends, we will be back. Michael Brown here. I hope you're enjoying this message. Come out from among them. If you miss any part of it, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Even though I will not be here with you live this week, we have specially prepared this broadcast to bless you, minister to you, challenge you, encourage you every day. Trust me, you will be stirred and helped and strengthened. If you miss any of the messages and want to hear them in full, go to askdrbrown.org. We'll also have links where you can listen without interruption. We'll be posting that as well. And always click to check my latest articles, blogs, the things that we're putting out even through this week. Back with more.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. I hope you're enjoying this special broadcast here on the Line of Fire. If you're just tuning in, we're taking you into a message that I preached last July in my home congregation, Fire Church. It is called Come Out From Among Them. Even when you look at the political scene, things are so toxic. The divisions within America are so extreme. It almost feels to me just like throwing a match into a vat of gasoline, an explosion could be near. I'm talking about on all sides, the polarization, the level of violence. Do you know that if you were a soldier in Afghanistan versus a citizen in Chicago or someone just living in Chicago, that the first 6 months of this year, there were more people murdered, more Americans killed in the city of Chicago than soldiers killed in Afghanistan? And can you imagine the amount of violence that we as believers are exposed to because of dropping our standards in terms of media and entertainment, things that are gory and ugly and despicable, and we watch them and we're entertained by them, even though the scriptures teach us that God hates violence, and because violence filled the earth in Noah's day, Genesis 6, that's one reason God destroyed the earth with a flood. The reason the nation is in the state that it's in is because of the failings of the church. And the reason the church is in the state that it's in is because of the failings of the leaders. Does it surprise me when I see a bird fly? No. Birds fly. Does it surprise me when I see a fish swimming? No. Fish swim. Does it surprise me when I see a sinner sin? No. Does it surprise me when worldly people do worldly things? No. Does it surprise me when Hollywood puts out a godless movie? No. The surprise is when we, God's people, live like the world. When we, God's people, think like the world. When we, God's people, measure ourselves by being not quite as bad as the world. How far can I get out into the water without drowning in this riptide? How much poison can I ingest without killing myself? That's the way a lot of believers live. And we haven't realized that standards have so degenerated around us that rather than measuring ourselves by God's pure and beautiful and holy standards, we measure ourselves by the standards of the world and try to be not quite as bad. The awakening must begin among us. The awakening must begin as we turn to God heart and soul on behalf of our nation, as people who love our nation and would rather see us in an ongoing way as the greatest exporter of missions around the world, as opposed to the greatest exporter, say, of pornography around the world. We have incredible potential for good or for evil. But in recent years, there's so much filth that's come out from our midst. And I wonder if that filth would be prospering and thriving in America if the church would cut off its own involvement with it. And I speak this in terms of the nation as a whole, because we, as God's people, if we're living righteously, if we're honoring Him, all the more power do we have to intercede for the nation. All the more power do we have to say, God, our hands are clean before You. We're seeking to honor You. Have mercy on our land. And all the more, if there's pollution in us, do we need to search our own hearts and say, God, start the work of awakening within me. One time, Scott and I were traveling to another part of the country for some meetings. It was in the midst of the revival schedule where I would normally be involved about 80 to 100 hours a week doing ministry of one kind or another. And the one thing that I really did not like to do was have to get up at, say, 5 in the morning to catch an early flight to start traveling because of the intensity of schedule and my late night schedule. But this one particular day, Scott and I had to catch a very early flight, then have a long layover in an airport somewhere. It was just going to be a rigorous day of travel to get somewhere else in the States. And he's at the airport calling me, trying to find out where I am, what's going on.
I mentioned this before.
It's a very
obvious illustration.
Why? Because I was asleep. My mustache is conspicuous.
It's been here for many years.
Whatever happened, the alarm didn't go off. And I was sound asleep quite blissfully. Finally wake up to voicemails or emails, whatever it is. End up getting my flight rescheduled. In fact, I got there at the same time, but got several hours of extra sleep. But that's not normally the way it works out. The fact is, one of the symptoms of being asleep is you don't know you're asleep. You don't know you missed the flight. One of the symptoms of being hardened and desensitized is we don't realize that we are. And unless we consciously determine, I'm not going to live the way the world lives, not to be self-righteous, not to be better than someone else or holier than thou, but because the ways of God are beautiful. Because we've been called to be like Jesus. Because sin is destructive and polluting and grieves the heart of God. Unless we make a conscious decision and say, I'm going to turn away from that which is defiling and destructive, and I'm going to pursue the Lord and renew our hearts and renew our minds, we don't realize how insensitive we become. We don't realize how hardened we become. It's also conspicuous that it's gray or white or whatever you want to call it. It's less conspicuous than it used to be because the rest of my hair has been catching up rapidly. But it turned white before my hair started to. And I didn't notice it. One day, someone came up to me, hadn't seen me for a while. Mike, what happened? Your mustache is all white. What are you talking about? I actually went and looked in the mirror. You say, well, how in the world can that be? It's simple. If I've used the illustration before, forgive me, but it's simple. Number one, you look in the mirror every day and change is gradual. Trust me, it did not turn white overnight. I didn't fall asleep and have some nerve-wracking dream and grow up and wake up in the morning and the mustache is white. I was not praying for a sign of wisdom. Oh, God, it says in your word, gray hair is the gray head of this wisdom. And God said, well, you're not there yet, but I'll make the mustache white. No, that's not what happened. It's little by little, by little, by little, by little, by little. Okay, I need to jump in again. I hope you're being ministered to and stirred. Remember to listen to the entire message. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest audio. We'll also have links for you. We'll be posting them on Facebook page, send them out by Twitter, so that you can just listen to the message straight through if you're stirred by it. I want to make an honest, heartfelt appeal to you. You know I'm honest. You know I shoot straight. We could really use your support and help. It would really be a shot in the arm, especially as I'm away on a family vacation and just wanted to step back from things. It would be a tremendous encouragement to me and to our team if you're able to stand with us. I found out a few days ago from our shipping department that we have still some signed copies left of the hardcover Real Kosher Jesus book, first printing hardcover, numbered copies. I want to sign it for you as a gift. When they first came out, people got number 1, 2, 5, 10, 50, 100. People were sending in a gift of $50 to get one of the first copies hot off the press signed and numbered. So these are collector's items. It turns out that we signed some additional ones, numbered some additional ones right at the beginning. So I want to send that out to you for your gift of support of any size. Again, suggested donation of $50, but literally, your gift of any size. It's a hardcover, it's numbered, it's a collector's item. I'll sign it, inscribe it with a verse. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Oh, and remember, go to the website, AskDrBrown.org, and find out about our Israel tour.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, welcome to the line of fire. All this week, I will not be broadcasting live from the studio. Oh, don't change the channel. Don't turn that dial, because we have put together a special series of messages. You don't get to hear me preach a lot on the line of fire. These are recent messages I've preached that will stir you, minister to you all through the week, different messages. And then Friday we'll answer your e-questions. So right now, I want to take you into a message preached at my home congregation, Fire Church, last July. It's called Come Out From Among Them. If I've used the illustration before, forgive me, but it's simple. Number one, you look in the mirror every day and change is gradual. Trust me, it did not turn white overnight. I didn't fall asleep and have some nerve-wracking dream and grow up and wake up in the morning and the mustache is white. It's little by little by little by little by little by little. And my mustache had always been a little bit lighter than the rest of my hair. So when my hair was dark brown, the mustache was lighter brown and reddish. So I just thought the mustache was getting lighter until someone said that to me. And then I looked in the mirror and, whoa, what happened to you, man? If something that graphic on my face that I see every day, at least a couple of times, at least morning and evening, brushing my teeth. I mean, I spend several hours a day, of course, in front of the mirror for style and everything. Those who don't know me, that was sarcastic, self-debasing and sarcastic. As I said, when I appeared on Tyra Banks a few years ago, it was not to discuss fashion. It's about a moral issue. But if I could be self-deceived about the mustache on my face, how much more could we be self-deceived about the condition of our heart, about the attitude of our minds, about our hardness or insensitivity? I am not thinking for a split second that our job as believers is to go out and condemn the world for being the world. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Yes, we call people to repentance. Yes, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And then we offer a message of mercy and grace. People will come running for mercy when they recognize the depth of their guilt and when they recognize the greatness of God's love. But the reason I talk about the state of the world is to get us to look at our own hearts and lives. Look, let's say there's an earthquake in Haiti. It's happened a couple years back. Within the body, you'll have many different opinions. Some will say this is the judgment of God. Others would say, God forbid you say this is the judgment of God. Some would say this is just a natural disaster. It's the way things happen. Some would say it's because the world has fallen and everything's falling apart. This much I know, when those things happen, it reminds me of the shortness of life and the fragile nature of life. And regardless of whether Satan sent it or God sent it, not even in my thinking right now, it reminds me of the fact that one day we're all going to stand before God and that everything's going to be shaken and that we're going to have to give account. And we need mercy, and therefore we need to show mercy. Can I just go through a few New Testament scriptures with you and just let God's word speak to us so that we can be confronted with the word of God's truth? Jacob, James speaks about the word of God, the law of God being like a mirror. And the self-deceived person looks in it and sees their hair is all messed up and they can't possibly leave the house like that. And they turn away and walk right out the house thinking, well, I looked in the mirror. That's the hearer of the word as opposed to the doer. The doer looks in the mirror, says, oh, my hair is messed up. I've got to fix it. And then they go out. And that's why Jacob, James says, don't deceive yourselves. All right, just need to stop right here. We've got a break. On the other side of the break, we will continue this message, Come Out From Among Them.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Michael Brown here. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. If you're just tuning in, I am not sitting here live in my studio, and we're not playing best of oldies. We have put together special broadcast this entire week while I'm away with family for a special vacation. I'll come back, God willing, with lots of fun reports next week. But this is a message that I preached last year, last July 2012, called Come Out From Among Them. We're taking you right back into that message. Let your heart be stirred. And that's why Jacob, James says, don't deceive yourselves. Don't deceive yourselves. The person that's home this morning, sleeping off a hangover, they know they should be following God and with God's people, but they went out and got stone cold drunk last night, and they've got a hangover, and they wake up in bed with their head pounding. They know something's wrong. But it's the ones that show up on a Sunday, hear a message, go home. We have a better chance of being self-deceived, because it feels like we're doing something good and doing something religious and doing something spiritual, whereas Jacob warns us, don't deceive yourselves. You can be a hearer, but not a doer. As it's often been said, the problem with deception is it's very deceiving. Hear me. When I address certain issues, when I get on the radio and talk about certain issues, I always examine myself first. I always keep my ear open for constructive input. And I do my best to say, look, I'm not pointing a finger at some self-righteous guy, because someone could come along and expose a blind spot in me or an issue of insensitivity in me. What we do with humility. And this is not me pointing a finger, but me appealing. Can we step back and let the word of God pierce our own hearts and lives? Can we step back and look in the holy mirror of God's word and see if some of the things destroying America are in our own lives or in our own midst? That things that are entertaining us in whatever aspect that is should actually be enemies. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about things. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Believers in Corinth, in the midst of an idolatrous culture, beginning in verse 14. This is New Testament, remember. New Testament. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, Satan himself? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? It's not saying you can't have friends that are unsaved or work together with people who are unsaved. There's a joining of heart, joining of life, a union that's unholy that he's speaking of here. For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. We'll read more. But how much are we hearing that from our pulpits across the land? How much are we hearing that in books and literature and messages through the airwaves and in print and on internet? Come out from among them and I will receive you. Touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since, therefore, we have these promises, dearly loved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. This is the way we should be living. Well, that puts a guilt trip on me. Well, then, say God changed my wrong thinking, because these are his words. If hearing these words makes you feel constricted, if hearing these words causes something to rise up within you where you want to justify a certain lifestyle, something's wrong. Because we should say, Father, I just want to please you. Lord, I love you. If you say something's unclean and destructive, Lord, I don't want that. If that's poison to my spirit, if that's dishonoring to you, if that's hurting other people, God forbid that I should have that or want that. Lord, I want to be all light and no darkness like you are. Since we have these promises, dearly loved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Go back to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, you can just jot these down if that's easier for you. Beginning in verse 11, Romans 13, 11. Besides this, as he's been speaking about love fulfilling the law, besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus the Messiah and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And this flows out of the previous chapter where he's talked about the hardness of the heart, where he's talked about putting on Jesus, putting on the new person that we were created to be. Ephesians 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. That's the goal. Be imitators of God. Not how much poison can I ingest, not how displeased will the Lord be, not how much will this cost me if I do the wrong thing, but Lord, I want to be like you. You ever met somebody, maybe you're a young person and you meet some older person that just is so wholesome or just full of Jesus or their lives are marked a certain way. So I want to be like that. Or maybe whatever your sphere is, you're in the business world or homemaker, whatever sphere of society you're in, you meet someone, I want to be like that person. Wow, they really shine. They really stand out. Well, Jesus is our model. Jesus is our goal. And if anybody wants to tell me it's legalistic to say we need to become like Jesus, we'll have an altar call for your salvation before the day is out. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Messiah loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints, that there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Do you know there are believers today, when I'll quote these verses to them, they'll say, I don't need your rules. That's just a lot of, that's legalism. You're mixing law with grace. I'm serious. Well, I'm just reading scripture to you, and I'm reading from the New Testament, so you can't accuse it of being from the Old Testament as if we're supposed to throw that out entirely. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, meaning that's who you are, meaning that's the way you live. Before I was saved, I was a heavy drug user. Before I was saved, I was an ungodly person. That's who I was. That was my identity. I lived in it. I was proud of it. If I did something wrong, I boasted about it instead of repented of it. Puritan John Bunyan said, first we practice sin, then we defend it, then we boast about it. I boasted about it. When I got saved, wrong attitudes, wrong thoughts, that becomes the exception to the rule of our lives because we are God's righteous people. We're no longer sinners in his sight. So this is someone, this is not a person that struggled and said, God, I'm sorry, this is wrong, and by your grace, I don't want to live like this.
This is someone who lives like this.
For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Friends, there is a final outpouring of wrath of which Scripture speaks that is so devastating, we should probably warn about it every week because Paul and others in the New Testament constantly warned about it.
All right, I need to jump in one more time. Michael Brown here. Thanks for listening. This is not our normal live call, and this is taking you into a live service from last year. The message, Come Out from Among Them. When we come back, I'll tell you how you can listen to it in its entirety.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Hey, I hope you're being stirred by this message, Come Out from Among Them, preached last July. We've got new messages every day that I preached in recent weeks or recent months or the last year or two that we thought would really fit well on the radio. Sit back and enjoy the rest of this message, Come Out from Among Them. Therefore, do not associate with them, meaning their sin. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Next time you want to get ornery in your attitude towards your spouse or your kids, next time you get pulled to look at some trash on the internet, next time something pulls at you to be dishonest in business, look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm light, not darkness. I'm light, I'm a child of light. That's not who I am. That's not how I live. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, which would also mean don't be entertained by the unfruitful works of darkness. But instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And that's why Paul ends the exhortation by telling us, find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Nancy and I have been married 36 years. And I'll still try to say, okay, what would be meaningful to her? What would be pleasing to her? How can I put her first in our relationship and be a blessing to her? And I trust we'll be living like that until we leave this world. Find out what pleases the Lord. Not in some way where he's up there with a whip, you do one wrong thing. No. And if that's how you think of God, by all means, drink in day and night the message of his love and goodness. And when that gets in your heart, you just want to please him. Lord, how can I glorify you today? How can my life count? Time I spend with my kids, time I spend at work, time I spend alone with you in prayer, time I spend on the streets preaching. Lord, how can I glorify you? How can I please you? My thought life, my attitude. This week, due to the faithfulness of a brother in our congregation here, I've had someone pushing me in a personal training mode, which basically is a way to be a believer and a sadist at the same time, as his level of joy comes through my threshold of pain. But you know what's funny? After working out Tuesday, and working out legs in a way that I hadn't in a long time, so I was really stiff and really hurting. When I went out and ate after that, I went out and ate a healthy meal. There were two things. One was just the direction my body was going. It wanted to have something healthy. And the other was, I'm not going to suffer like that and then go pig out. I got vegetarian pizza. No, I didn't. But the point is, when we start orienting our lives in a way, I want to please the Lord, I want to shine. Boy, America's terribly messed up, and we're the answer. Jesus in us is the answer. God's people, if we can turn to God as God's people, America can be saved. I don't mean every person saved, but I mean America can be saved from terrible disaster as we continue to reap the fruit of our sin. America can be turned our nation can be raised up for righteousness. That verse that Keith quoted earlier has been on my mind through the day, through yesterday. Proverbs 14:34, which is a universal principle, not just for Israel, but a universal principle. Righteousness exalts a nation, any nation, as sin is a reproach to any people, any people. As we say, Lord, here we are. We can't be publicly calling for one thing and living another way privately. It would just be like we're calling for a great athletic event here, and we put a team together, except we're not training. And we're publicizing it and talking about it. The day comes and we're completely out of shape. Now let it be that we before the Lord are really pursuing him. That we before the Lord have really turned from unrighteousness and sin in our own lives and are saying, God, we're your people. As Jesus is pure, we want to be pure. Where we fall short, wash us and cleanse us and burn those things out of us so we can shine. This is what's written in 1 Peter, verse 13, chapter 1. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus the Messiah. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. Let's stand to our feet together. You put this online. If you need a title, you can call it Come Out From Among Them. And let's open our hearts to God right now. And let's turn towards him. And if there are areas that you know are displeasing in his sight, areas that are hitting you right between the eyes as we speak, you recognize there's a distance, that there's a relationship with God you once had that you don't anymore, that things that would have once caused you to grieve, you're now indifferent to. If there's just a hardness or lethargy you recognize, God delights in showing mercy. All right, friends, I pray and trust you were blessed. If you'd like to listen to that message in full, we have links up. You can listen straight through without interruption. You can share it with friends. And tomorrow, we've got another message coming your way. Each day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as we're away with family, just having a special time together, all in the same cabin, all 10 of us, the four grandkids, should be a blast. And just pray for rest and grace on us and renewal and refreshing while we are away. And then Friday, I'll be answering your e-questions. So each day, it's every broadcast, specially prepared. Stand with me. Will you do that? If you believe in the work that we're doing, if you want to give us just a shot in the arm of encouragement, your gift would be so valuable to us at this time. And we discovered that we had a number of numbered copies of The Real Kosher Jesus from the very first printing of the hardcover edition. Initially, folks pre-ordered those with a gift of $50 because it was kind of a collector's item, numbered. I signed them and inscribed them. We found a number left that we had, just discovered them, a few days back. So your gift of any size of support, be as generous as you can, but your gift of any size, a numbered, signed, inscribed copy of The Real Kosher Jesus. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, because our God is holy, he calls us to come out from the world, and he says, then I will receive. There is nothing more important than a fresh encounter with Jesus in our lives. Prepare to have your heart stirred today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. We have a special week of programming planned out for you. It's actually a vacation week for me with my family, the first time ever renting a cabin. We're all 10 of us, so Nancy, myself, our two daughters, their husbands, four grandkids, just looking forward to having a blast together. But I didn't just want to play repeat broadcast for you. I wanted to do something special. So we're taking you into services where I preached at Fire Church, my home congregation, where I minister monthly, then teach at our school weekly, then do series of special meetings periodically through the year. This is a message I preached this past April called A Fresh Encounter with Jesus. I believe your heart will be stirred. Let's go right into the service now. We ask you, Lord, to continue to speak to our hearts, to impact us and to change us. Father, we ask for a revelation of Jesus. We ask for the eyes of our understanding to be opened. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Father, give us a heart to respond. Touch us, Lord, so we can go and touch our world in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew, the third chapter. Those who are doing this electronically, rather than turn to, go to Matthew chapter 3. I want to bring a short word to you tonight about the critical importance of having a fresh revelation of Jesus. Some very, very basic and simple points, beginning in Matthew chapter 3. Most of these Friday night meetings are just nights of worship. There's no preaching. There may be some prophetic words given. But you say, why do you do those? Why do we have these nights that we call burn nights? Get close to God's presence, God's fire. Why do we have them? Well, one, it's always good to worship God, and every opportunity we have to worship, we ought to. And I would dare say in the course of our weeks, in the course of our lives, that we worship only a fraction of what we really should in terms of being really conscious of God and honoring Him. We worship Him with our whole life, for sure. But any excuse we have to come together and worship, it's a good thing. But we also do it because we know coming into God's presence changes us. We know that if we can really encounter Him, that in a moment of time, more change can come than through 100 of our greatest messages. You say, but it's the Word of God. Correct, it's the Word of God. But if that Word of God doesn't penetrate our hearts and bring us into an encounter with God and a revelation of His truth, it's just words that we hear. So I want to bring you a few simple points about a fresh revelation of Jesus, a fresh encounter with Jesus. We're not talking about a new Jesus, some new revelation of the hidden Christ figure in all of us, as prophesied in the ancient books to be revealed with the Mayan calendar. We're not some flaky thing. We're talking about encountering who He really is again. Now, in Matthew, the third chapter, it tells us in those days, John the Immerser came preaching in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So John the Immerser is preparing the way for the coming of Jesus. He's clearing out the rubble. The text back in Isaiah 40 that's excerpted here speaks about the rough places have to be made smooth. The crooked places have to be made straight. The mountains and hills have to be leveled. The valleys have to be filled in. You're preparing a way for the coming of the King.
All right, we're going to jump in, take a quick break, and be back and continue the message of fresh encounter with Jesus.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Michael Brown here. Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls today. We're doing something we've never done before. This entire week, I'm taking you into live services where I have preached messages that I felt were especially suitable for you, our listening audience, on a wide range of subjects. Thursday, we'll have a Jewish focus. Friday, I'll be answering e-questions. But I'm not taking your calls. Right now, we're going right back into a service where I preached a message called A Fresh Encounter with Jesus. And how does that come? It comes through the preaching of repentance. It comes, the message that is most needed by the American church today is the message that is most rejected by the American church today. The message of repentance to clear the way, just like you've got guests coming to stay at your home and the whole house is a mess and you get your family cleaning and moving things and putting them away and vacuuming and cleaning. Prepare the way. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, the Messiah, is about to be revealed. Now look at this. John preached a word of rebuke to religious hypocrites. And he said this in verse 11. Oh, let's start in verse 10. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. Fire in the 10th verse, fire in the 11th verse, fire in the 12th verse. Fire of judgment for the hypocrites in verses 10 and 12, the fire of the Holy Spirit for believers. But everybody's touched by fire one way or another. Okay, I've preached on those verses. I've thought about those verses many times. I've meditated on the truth of them and God coming as a refining fire, consuming fire. Malachi 3, which is also a prophecy about John the Immerser, the messenger who comes. But it was only the other day that something struck me in reading this. Normally, I don't listen to the Bible. I do much better generally reading and looking at something. But as I was cleaning some things out, it wasn't egg cartons that I found. I found this big cassette folder, and I thought, what's in here? I didn't remember it. And then it was like, oh, the Bible on CD. So I just grabbed Matthew to start the New Testament and just start listening and put it in. Thought, okay, I just got to listen. Redeem the time better and listen and take in what I can from listening. If I've got to repeat it, I'll repeat it. So I'm listening to this, these verses, which I've been through over and over, God knows how many hundreds of times, but somehow it hit me differently as I read on. So let's go back to verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. It's on the heels of this preaching of the fire of judgment, the consuming fire of God, God's wrath, judgment on the hypocrites, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire for believers. Then came Jesus. John's the one preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. John's the one who begins this new era. Matthew 11 talks about it. Luke 16 talks about it. The law and the prophets were until John. He's the one now who comes inaugurating a new era. The law was given by Moses, John 1:17. Grace and truth came through Jesus the Messiah. He comes inaugurating this new era. He's coming to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And what does he preach? Jesus is coming, and he's very sensitive to the things you like and don't like, and he'll bring a message that will bring you tremendous fulfillment, and those who struggle with inadequate self-worth, he will make you feel much better about yourself, and if the cat is stuck in the tree, he'll help with that too. Now, let me say this. When the cat's stuck in the tree and you got your 2-year-old crying, Jesus does care about the 2-year-old crying. And for those who struggle with their own self-worth, well, when you die to self and sin and live afresh in Jesus, you'll have a wonderful discovery. You'll find the worth you've never known about. But it strikes me as so interesting that John
picked by God. According to Jesus, the greatest prophet who ever lived. Among men born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist, John the Immerser. That's what Jesus says. But the one born in the kingdom of God is greater than he. John, this forerunner, handpicked by God his entire life from the womb for this mission to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. How does he prepare the way? Preaching repentance. That I've known, that I've preached and believed for decades, but not just preaching repentance, but preaching the fire of judgment. Then Jesus came and said, who is that mean-spirited preacher up there misrepresenting me? Who is that religious fanatic with all that judgment stuff? I'm Jesus. No, that was the proper backdrop. The recognition of the holiness of God. The recognition of God's judgment on sin. The recognition of how the fire of God's going to burn up hypocritical religion. On the heels of that, then comes Jesus. I want to strongly encourage you not to water down the truth with the false concept that is going to help out this society and generation and help them hear the gospel better. I want to encourage you not to give way to the spirit of the world and to remember that Paul, who understood grace better than anyone, when he wanted the Romans to understand his gospel, started by teaching on the wrath of God against sin and how all human beings were guilty of sin. I had Steve Hill on the radio with me a few weeks ago, and I said, Steve, do you ever run into people who were touched by God in the Brownsville Revival? Lost sinners who got saved at those altars. I had one gentleman tell me, no one's changed at altars. No one's changed weeping at the altar. That doesn't work. It's never worked. Well, if he means by human effort and you're going to cry enough, something's going to happen, of course that doesn't work. But if he means encountering God in deep repentance and that doesn't work, he doesn't know God well enough. He doesn't know the scriptures. I said to Steve, do you run into people? And I knew what the answer would be. I said, do you ever run into people who were touched in the revival, got saved at the altar calls? And if you were there, it was not some kind of meet God halfway. Tell you what, man, I know you had a hard life, and God understands. Hasn't been easy for him either, being God, if you can imagine, you know. So kind of meet halfway in the middle. You know, you do your thing, he does his thing, kind of meet halfway in the middle. That's not the kind of altar calls there were. And you never see Jesus making that deal. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Really? Tell you what, get 10%. 10% and follow me. His message was always, leave everything, follow me. One of my friends asked this question. You're a young man, you're about to get married, you met the woman of your dreams. She said, honey, I can't wait to marry you. And I just, it's just one condition, and I'll be yours forever. Just one condition. 364 days of every year, I'm yours. I just want one day a year to hang out with my old boyfriends and sleep with my old boyfriends. Just one day a year, and I'm yours. You gonna marry her? I said to Steve, do you meet people who were changed at the altar, who repented of sin, who got right with God? He said, everywhere I go, every airport, every place I go, everywhere I go, people come up to me. Why? Because when we tell them the truth and the power of the Spirit, lives change. I wrote an article some days back, and it's called A Born-Again Christian Prostitute, ? And it's... I read an article, it was about same-sex so-called marriage and so on, and in it this person was sharing their story, and they're saying, look, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus, but we need to change our message to the world, and we're too judgmental, and so on and so forth. And she said, look, when I was an adult escort and stripper and prostitute, and when I was advocating for legalizing brothels, when I was doing this for over 20 years, she goes, I was a born-again Christian the entire time. So I wanted to take exception to that based on scripture. And because she was writing this in a public setting, I thought, well, she's writing in a major publication online. She's making these statements. I'll make reference to her and say we need to pray for her. Glad she's come to the truth now. We need to pray for her to have a greater encounter with God rather than condemn her. But I just wanted to say that this is a scriptural impossibility to be a born-again prostitute. We're not talking about someone sold into sex slavery.
an innocent victim that's trying to get out. We're talking about a chosen lifestyle for over 20 years. Well, she took exception to me writing the article without trying to contact her first, which I'd actually thought of, and I thought, well, public figure, though. So I wrote the article. Then I noticed she had posted something about this guy wrote this mean article and so on and didn't even contact me. So I said, okay, well, I had thought of it. So I sent a note, and then we ended up speaking on the phone. And I said, well, I apologize. I said, I stand behind everything I wrote in the article, and there's no question that what you wrote is very misleading, terribly misleading. I said, I apologize for not contacting you first if you were hurt in any way. I said, but you got to realize what you're conveying is not truth.
Okay, quick break, and we'll be back and continue with this message. We're not taking calls today. We're taking you into a service where I preach this message called A Fresh Encounter with Jesus.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, truly blessed to spend this time with you. I know there are a lot of different things you could be doing right now. There are other things you could be listening to. So thanks for taking time to hear what's on my heart. And this week, not taking calls, we're doing something special and taking you into services where I've preached messages that fit right in our radio segments and that specially will speak to you and minister to you. So we're going to continue with this message entitled A Fresh Encounter with Jesus.
And she said, look, this generation, they're not going to come to church. They're not going to hear this message. You know, when they come to church, then they can hear the message and so on. But look, people are leaving the church. We're losing young people. I said, we're losing young people and leaving the church because we're not telling the truth. And because Jesus is not moving powerfully in our midst. And because we're trying to become like the world to win the world. We're trying so hard to be relevant, we make ourselves irrelevant. Now, I've said this before, but just to illustrate the point again. Is the spokesman for Alcoholics Anonymous a drunk who staggers up to the platform and with red eyes and a bulging red nose and slurred speech talks about how wonderful the program is? When you go to the gym and you're going to get in some fitness class, okay, now here's the aerobic instructor. They're strutting up there, they're ready to collapse. And they look so grotesque in their outfit, you got to look away. And they're going to be the instructor. Oh, you're going to go to that class, right? No, some person gets up there. It's like, you can't be a real human being. No real human being is built like that. Hey, we're just going to get toned today. And they bounce up and down. It's like, why? They're saying, hey, you can get fit like I'm fit. But in one of the most ridiculously unbiblical and unwise moves, the church has basically said to the world, we sin just like you do. Come to us. Why would I want to come to you? We're as confused as you are. Come to us. You want to be a top national leader? You're a young person here aspiring to be a top national leader? Here's what you do. Put out a YouTube video. I don't understand the Bible. It's very confusing. How can I be dogmatic when there's so many different views? Oh, everybody will follow you like crazy. We really have the blind leading the blind. And you say, well, why are people dropping out? Well, why would you want to go? Religion's boring in itself. And if your message is not come and be changed because we're changed, why are people going to come? And if they just come for the celebration of the confused, all you're doing is becoming like the world. You don't change the world by becoming like the world. We're going to launch an outreach to heroin addicts, and we need 10 people to become heroin addicts. You say, what's that got to do with the text here? Oh, everything. Jesus comes on the heels of John talking about the fire of judgment. Then this is the appointed time. You know, in the show, here's the drum roll, here the curtains come. Here he comes. This was the drum roll. This was the curtains coming back. John the Immerser preaching Jesus. Now go with me to Luke 19. Luke, the 19th chapter. Yeshua enters Jericho.
and he's passing through. Luke 19, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. You have to understand, again, in those days, the tax collectors were notoriously corrupt, known for extortion. They were not loved by the people because they were noted sinners that exploited the people. And if you're rich, all the more are you a noted sinner. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Now, if you will study this in the Hebrew, in the Greek, and research this for a good 20 to 30 years, you'll find out that the reason that he climbed into a sycamore tree and not another tree was because that was apparently the tree that was there. I mean, before I learned the languages and before I studied things, I used to believe people. They said, yeah, if you'll study this, you'll see the sycamore tree. It's just the tree you climb up to. Get him up there. So notice this. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, apparently he knows his name by the Spirit, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Scandalous! Scandalous! Jesus is going to stay in the house, a tax collector? He's going to have a meal with this notorious sinner? Doesn't he know who this guy is? Scandalous! Calls him out by name. Wow. Notice this. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's going to be the house of a man of the sinner. But notice this. Notice what happens. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today's salvation has come to this house, since he's also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. What's the point here? What was the message that Jesus preached to him? What verse is it in your translation here? What was the text that Jesus took him through to bring him to repentance? Now, I'm not saying there was no conversation. There may have been, but nothing is recorded. And the fact that nothing is recorded strikes me. In other words, Jesus being Jesus, full of the Spirit, bearing the very image of God in human flesh, the fullness of God in bodily form, the walking, living glory of God in a very common human body, walks into Zacchaeus' house, a longtime hardened sinner, and in a moment of time, he instantly repents.
Got to stop right now. Jump in. We've got a break coming up. Can I ask you something as we are spending a special family week of vacation and rest and fun, family enjoyment, and yeah, I've got to pull myself away from radio because I love doing radio so much, but thrilled to have this family time. But if you believe in the work that we're doing and want to get something very special for yourself, when we published The Real Kosher Jesus last year, we did a special run where we had the first several hundred books, whatever the number was, we had them specially numbered, and then I signed those and inscribed those. Folks pre-ordered them, paid $50 per book for the numbered, signed hardcover, kind of a collector's item. And I've met folks that, yeah, I was number 11, I was number 14, which was so sweet to meet them. I found out that we still have some of those numbered volumes. Randy in our shipping department pulled me over the other day, Dr. Brown, showed me a case where we still had these. So suggest a donation, $50. It's numbered and signed to you, inscribed with the scripture. It's from our first run, our first printing. But your gift of any size, all right? So some can help with more, some less. Be as generous as you can. Encourage me while I'm away resting this week and having fun with the family. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. This is available by phone only, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the line of fire. We're doing something very special this week. Every broadcast, we're taking you into live services. Just gives you another side of the ministry work that we're doing. These are messages that were preached in my home congregation, Fire Church. We're doing these Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll have a Jewish-based message, and then Friday, answering your e-questions. So this message was preached in April of this year, April 2013, called A Fresh Encounter with Jesus. We're going to go right back into that message now. And people suggest if you do the math, he wouldn't have much left based on how he got the money he had, we would presume. Come on, man, you need to repent. Come on, man, you need to give up that tax collection. Come on. How many times do I have to talk to you about it? You're still taking from the poor. Come on, man. Don't you have a guilty conscience about that? Come on. I mean, we try. And we do reason with people. And it's good to show them the word. And it's good to pray and to... But the bottom line is they have to encounter God. And when they encounter God, everything changes. And that's why people come flocking when God is moving. Well, that stuff doesn't work anymore. God starts moving, it'll work. And them big healing meetings, they don't work anymore. People start getting healed, they'll be flocking for miles. Look, there were some meetings years ago. God was touching people in some dramatic ways. There were also some real flaws and weaknesses because of which the meetings came to an end after not too long. But the particular brother involved, there was a reputation for healing, a reputation for God moving. Just a few years ago, and I was flying back from ministering somewhere, and I was going to go straight over to the meeting. We wanted to see what God was doing with the hope that good things were happening. We had concerns, but we were just hoping for the best. And I was going to have to go straight from the airport there, and we had some seats reserved for us. And I called Nancy on the phone. I said, what's going on? I forget how far ahead of the meeting it was. She said, it's wonderful. Traffic is backed up for miles. It's just one meeting. And like I say, there were a lot of questionable things in terms of how the brother was doing that was leading the meetings. But there was no question God was moving and people were being touched. And that alone created a hunger and thirst enough. And I'm not talking about verified, 30 people out of wheelchairs and 40 terminal cancer healings. Just reports and enough reports of things happening that when people just heard things were happening, they went flocking. The reason we say that stuff doesn't work anymore is because we don't see the reality of it. If we saw the reality, it would work the same way. The same spirit doing the same work. So Jesus just comes into the room and Zacchaeus instantly repents. He's not told to do anything. There's not a syllable spoken of what he was told to do, but the encounter with Jesus was so great, he immediately wanted to repent. Give half of what he has to the poor. Who asked you to do this, man? Who asked you to do this? If I've taken anything, I'm going to restore it fourfold. And it's not hard when God is there. It's not hard when Jesus is real to us. I mentioned earlier that I got saved in an Italian Pentecostal church. When I was licensed to preach in my Italian Pentecostal denomination, I was basically the only one, when I looked at the list of ministers, the only one whose name did not end in a vowel. And the superintendent for the churches had to be fluent in Italian, of course, because many of them were old line Italian, many people didn't speak English. The motto was to the Italian first. And maybe they hadn't read Romans 1:16 to the Jew first part, but that was to the Italian first. And I remember this brother coming in, Frank Fortunato. He's with the Lord now. Was that a mafia guy? No, this is Frank Fortunato. He's a wonderful believer and one of the heads of the organization back then. He was a little guy, and he's preaching up a storm, and I remember here I am, maybe 17, 18 years old, and he's in his 60s, so you know how old that would look if you're a young person.
All right, I hope you're enjoying the message. We've got a quick break, and we'll be right back. Make sure you visit my website, askdrbrown.org. Be sure to find out about our tour to Israel. The earlier you register, the better for everyone. That's right on the website, askdrbrown.org, and check out our latest audio, video, blog. Be blessed by the materials there.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are continuing on The Line of Fire with a special message. I'm not taking calls this week, but we're taking you into services where I've preached. This is a message called A Fresh Encounter with Jesus. You'll hear the passion, the burning fire in my heart. May we all encounter him afresh by his word, by his spirit. Let's go back to the message. Visit my website when you have a chance as well. AskDrBrown.org. He's talking about maybe someone he talked to on a plane, but some young lady. And she goes, isn't it hard to live for God? Isn't it hard to live for God? And he said, I look at a fish. This is what he's telling her. He said, I look at a fish swimming in the water, darting here, darting there, swimming there, diving there. And I said to him, isn't it hard to do that? He goes, no, it's my nature. I'm a fish. He said, I look up in the air, and I see a bird there, shoo, soaring in the air, ooh, gliding, in, swinging this way, swinging that way. I said, oh, isn't it hard for you to do that? He goes, no, it's not. It's my nature. I'm a bird. He said, young lady, he said, when I got saved, I received the nature of the Lord Jesus, and it's not hard for me to live for God. It's my nature. Full of life. There's something that happens when somebody's really born again. Oh, yeah, sure, we disciple and teach, but they're hungry for God. And it comes out of that encounter with Jesus. It comes out of that experience of God. And one reason we come together is to help us encounter him, or to put us in an environment we can stop being distracted for a couple of hours and go after him, because something might just happen. We are so distracted. We are so busy. We are so used to running in 1,000 different directions. Whether it's the business world or the soccer mom syndrome or the overly committed minister, whoever it is, if we could just say, okay, the most important thing is to stop long enough to encounter God, or to stop long enough and to take these words in until they penetrate our hearts and our minds, we'd be changed. Now go to Matthew, the 4th chapter. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter 4. Nancy's been reading some of the writings of Catherine Coleman and some of the miracle stories of what happened in the meetings. And it would seem a common denominator in people who were healed would be that they made an extraordinary effort to get there. Even people who were not believers just thought, well, maybe if I can get there, something would happen. And you read their stories, they're tearjerker stories, some of them. But then the level of miracle that they received, not because of their good works, but somehow they were desperate and God met them. And you think of Jesus being on the earth, and you have these scenes where the crowds were so great he had to get out in a boat. He was teaching by the shore, and the crowd was so great, the only way not to get crushed and to have room for the crowds was he'd get out in the boat. They'd just go out a few feet, and then he'd teach from the boat. Great crowds following him. Mark gives us the picture of people running with the sick. So that means you got a few people, and they're carrying someone on a mat, and you know they're running to get there. This excitement. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is coming by. Right from the beginning of his ministry, the aura that he carried, the authority that he carried, the miracles that flowed from him. So it says this in verse 18 of Matthew 4. While he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, with his message being repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, John's identical message. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Wow. Immediately. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, Jacob, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You have the same thing with Matthew. When Jesus passes by, immediately he leaves his tax collector's booth and goes off to follow him. What's the point of this? We cannot get upset with people when the biggest issue is the lack of God's presence. We're all responsible. We're all responsible. There's never a valid excuse for sin.
There's never a valid excuse for our own backsliding. I was talking to some of our missionaries in Italy, an Italian man married to an American woman. And she was saying she'd gotten saved, and not long after getting saved, was in the services in Brownsville, was waiting online for hours to get into a meeting, and then after that went to the School of Ministry. So she was in school through the week. She was out on the streets evangelizing, or she was at a revival service, married her husband, and went as a missionary to Italy. That's all she's known. I said, that's why you're a missionary in Italy, because that's what you've known and that's what you're living for. Raising their three kids there now and doing a wonderful work. And I said, you know, if God wasn't moving, we couldn't get upset with people not getting online. How come you weren't here 12 hours before the meeting? Why weren't you? You used to get online 12 hours. How come you weren't here 12 hours before? You can't get upset with the people if God's not moving. And it's one thing to just show up late because we don't have enough respect for God. I don't mean folks coming in tonight from busy days. I'm glad you're here. But, you know, we show up late on a Sunday just because we don't have enough respect for God. Or just, you know, we're tired. We'll show up when we show up. We'd never do that for work. We'd never do that for dinner at someone's home. That's one thing. But we as leaders can't expect people to run after God and to give everything to following him when we haven't really presented Jesus in power of the Spirit and in reality. Hear what I'm saying again. There's never an excuse for sin. There's never an excuse for disobedience. But if I'm preaching a series of meetings somewhere, I mean, here we're at our home, and I never have any clue who's going to come when we do meetings at home. I could be somewhere else, and it's a big event, and I'm here. I have no clue who's here. So I'm glad you're here. And if you just came for the worship, but you're too embarrassed to leave when I started preaching, good for you. That's fine. It's good you stayed. But this much I know. If the Holy Spirit's moving on me as I preach, and Jesus is being exalted, crowds will grow. People will come. Someone's leaving now. That's okay. No, that's all right. Just your son-in-law, buddy. He's actually going over to help at the sound booth or something. Do something there. Charge his cell phone, I think. But look, in all seriousness, the reason that many people leave church is because they see hypocrisy. That's true. And others, it's too political for them. I understand that. But the biggest thing is we're not experiencing the reality of God. We have thought we could just do it the world's way and it'd work. Just kind of make it nice, play worldly music that they're used to. You know, and have special perks, free cup of coffee for the first 1,000 visitors, you know, and that kind of deal. And have all these neat little reasons to get people in. That may work for a social club, but that's not going to work for the gospel. In fact, God will breathe on it in the opposite way, because that's reproach. And you'll never get a disciple doing that. I mean, picture this. Sign up for our new fitness program, and we give you $10,000 of free buffet meals. It's counterproductive. What we need to do is ask in our personal lives, do we really know the Lord? Are we really encountering Jesus? I don't mean every day we have to be falling on our faces and shaking in his presence. Well, if that happens, wonderful. Are we casual in our relationship with him? Are there times when we stop and earnestly seek him? When's the last time we've been staggered by who he is? We were worshiping the last meeting in Italy. I guess, again, 1,000-plus people there. We've had some wonderful deep altar calls, people pledging their lives to follow Jesus, whether by life or by death. And then many coming right on the platform with me, and some even taking the mic and saying, I'm through with sin. I'm through with playing games, junk the way I've been living. I want to live for God, you know, with tears streaming down their cheeks and just very sacred moments we had had. Really, when that happens, that's all that matters. Nothing else, none of the other stuff matters. Reproach for the gospel doesn't matter. Sacrifice for the cross doesn't matter. The beauty of Jesus. The beauty of Jesus. You say, what do? We do what we know how to do, and we say, God, we're missing your presence. We can sing about it. We can pray about it. We can talk about it, but we have to have visitation. The only way Fire Church can fulfill its mission, and the mission of each of your churches and congregations and our own lives, is living with a fresh encounter with the Lord. The whole key to keeping ourselves fervent and strong in spirit is walking in first love.
Okay, we've got to take one more break, and we'll be back and continue with the message, A Fresh Encounter with Jesus.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Michael Brown here. Thanks so much for joining us. I pray and trust that this message has been a blessing to you. Many broadcasts you listen to on the air every week, every day, they've got tremendous preaching messages from pastors and leaders. We don't do that. My show is talk radio. But this week, as we're away with special family vacation with our kids and grandkids together, I didn't want to just play repeat shows. I wanted to bring you into messages I preached to let you hear some of my heart. This message is called A Fresh Encounter with Jesus. We're going to finish it up right now. If you want to listen to the whole message, I'll tell you how you can do that at the end of the show.
You know, it was Oh Lord, You're Beautiful, that song. And as we sang it, there was just this exquisite joy. I'm just standing there beaming and thinking, I'd give my life for this, Lord. I'd give my life for these people. I'd be here every day of the week just in your presence. I've experienced that in so many different nations and all over America. And really, when that happens, that's all that matters. Nothing else, none of the other stuff matters. Reproach for the gospel doesn't matter. Sacrifice for the cross doesn't matter. Beauty of Jesus. Beauty of Jesus. You say, what do? We do what we know how to do, and we say, God, we're missing your presence. We can sing about it. We can pray about it. We can talk about it, but we have to have visitation. The only way Fire Church can fulfill its mission, and the mission of each of your churches and congregations and our own lives, is living with a fresh encounter with the Lord. The whole key to keeping ourselves fervent and strong in spirit is walking in first love. And we do that, as it says in Revelation 2, by doing what we did at first, making him preeminent. You say, but it was easy then because I was just caught up with him and I'm not anymore. Well, do what you can and he'll meet you. Draw near to the Lord and he'll draw near to you. That's what it comes down to. That's why, and I'll close in a moment, even some of our friends that are preaching a message that I'll refer to as hyper grace because of some of the error mixed in with it. The reason many lives are changing is because they're pointing people to Jesus, and many people are looking at Jesus instead of to themselves and are encountering him and being changed. So here's what we're going to do. It's 9 o'clock, all right? And if folks want to stay for a while, you're perfectly welcome to do that. We're going to stand to our feet now. And I just ask you for 5 minutes, all right? And after that, zero pressure, zero obligation. You need to get on and go home. For some, it's late. You've had a long day. So I'm not saying that just to say it, okay? After 5 minutes, I won't say, well, you give me five more. Another five, okay? But here's what I want you to do. We'll ask the worship team to come back up. I don't know if you know that you do that Keith Green song. Watch the... Yeah, I had the back of my head. Yeah. We're going to sing this together to the Lord. And I want you to do this just for about 5 minutes, okay? Just focus everything in your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, I'm wanting Jesus and going after him. We'll come forward and do it. And if you've never known the Lord, if you've never really encountered him, if you're still in your sin, you're still carrying the burden of your guilt, Jesus died for that. Jesus took your guilt, took your shame. Every sin you ever committed, every wrong thing you ever did, that if we knew about it here, you'd run out of this building, you'd be so ashamed. He knows about it. When you're in that sin, Jesus died for you. Shed his blood for you so that you could have eternal life and for the rest of your life live for him. If you've never known him, the door is wide open to receive forgiveness and start a brand new life. And for everyone here that knows the Lord, I'm going to ask you to come up and join me, and let's just say, God, I've got to get hold of you fresh. I've got to see Jesus in his glory. I can't live in a rut. I can't live with this substandard faith. I can't live with this half-hearted spirituality. God, encounter you afresh, Lord. An encounter with Jesus being such that you just live for his smile. Encounter with Jesus being such that if he says, okay, sell everything, give to the poor and follow me, wouldn't even think about it because of him. Yes, Lord. To be with you? Yes, Lord. So let's worship the Lord. Why don't you come up together and shut out everything else just for 5 minutes, all right? And if you want to stay longer, altars will be open. You can stay quite a while. Jesus. 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 Come on, there's plenty of room. Fill up the front. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What else matters? What else are we living for? If you've been in sin, if you realize you've grown cold, there's no condemnation here. There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness and new life and new hope.
All right, that's it. I pray that you were touched, that you were blessed, that your heart was stirred by the message. If you'd like to listen to the message in its entirety, just go to my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. That's A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook, or on Twitter, Dr. Michael L. Brown. Make sure you get the L's in there, two L's, Dr. Michael L. Brown, Dr. Michael L. Brown. And we're posting links where you can listen to this message in its entirety without break, and recommend it to your friends if you're blessed and stirred by it. And may I ask you to stand with us, help us, support us. By God's grace, we're on the front lines of Jewish ministry. We're on the front lines of moral and cultural revolution. We're on the front lines of helping spark revival in America. We're on the front lines of raising up, sending out missionaries, workers around the world. We're on the front lines of even going to the nations ourselves. And we recently discovered that we still had some of the first run hardcover numbered volumes for the Real Kosher Jesus, kind of collector's items. Folks pre-ordered those, paid $50 a book to have a numbered, signed, pre-ordered copy. We have some left. We suggest a donation of $50. If you can't afford that, whatever you're able to send in, I want to send this to you. Those that can help with a more generous gift, please do so. It would really mean so much. Just helps carry the work that we're doing, and all the funds that come in go right back out into ministry. So you'll get from the first run, the first printing, hardcover, numbered and signed, inscribed with the scripture to you, the Real Kosher Jesus. You can't get the hardcover anywhere else, and you certainly can't get a numbered hardcover. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the greatest antidote for a loss and lack of first love is a fresh new encounter with the living God, the Lord Jesus himself. Shake the next time.